Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. God's mercies never come to an end. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets hide, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, no matter what you have done or failed to do, God waits to welcome you home. With faith in God's endless mercy and trust in God's boundless love, let us call to mind and confess our sins, first in the silence of our hearts, and then out loud with one another. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin and whose mercy we forget, cleanse us from all offenses and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to thee, confessing our faults, confiding in thy grace, and finding in thee our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. People of God, neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present or things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Let us join together in singing the hymn, Holy God, We Praise Thy Name, hymn number 21 in your Crimson Harvard Hymnal. Friends, Christ said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." So let us go and share the peace of Christ with one another. You may take your seats. Good morning, and welcome to worship here at the Memorial Church. I am the Reverend Alana Sullivan, and it is my great pleasure to say that we are so thankful to have you here today, and your mere presence blesses us. Here at the Memorial Church, we like to say that no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what you believe, no matter who you love, and no matter whether you are joining us online, on the radio, or here in our sanctuary, I'm going to say it again. You are most welcome here, and we are so grateful for you. Today marks the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. Our preacher for today is the Reverend Kendra Joyner Miller, chaplain and director of the Lilly Center for Vocation and Values at Catawba College in North Carolina. Reverend Joyner Miller, thank you so much for being with us today, and we so look forward to hearing the good news that you have to share with us. Our music for today is provided by our own brilliant Carson Kuman, composer in residence. And today's lessons will be read by Courtney Godwin, who has a new title starting as of yesterday. She will be joining us as our interim minister in the Memorial Church for the fall term. This fall term, I will be on leave as my family will be welcoming our second kiddo in August. And during that time, Courtney will be tending to pastoral, worship, and administrative aspects of our congregational and worship life. For those who have had the privilege of getting to know Courtney this past academic year, you know that she brings a myriad of experiences and gifts with her. Courtney has years of project management and ministry experience and a gift for turning proximity into community. So please join us in welcoming her to the Memorial Church team in her new capacity. Yeah. We genuinely are really excited to have Courtney. We will be holding summer worship services that started last week, and they will be occurring through the last Sunday in July, Sunday, July 30th. If you are new to the Memorial Church, please introduce yourself after the service. We would love to welcome you by name next week. So to learn more about all the happenings in our community's life, please sign up for our newsletter and visit our website. So friends, as shared in our gospel lesson for today, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, those who offer a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple will not lose their reward." The realm of God asks for us to care for our neighbors, for the children who are thirsty, to the prophets and other caregivers who need a place to rest. This is our opportunity to use our treasures, talents, and time to ensure that all of God's children have what they need. May we reflect the ways we can share and give as we are able. Our offering this week, as it does every week, goes to support the work of this very church community, especially our ministries to students and to our neighbors in need through the Grants Committee. The offering collection will begin from the front of the sanctuary. Let us offer to God the gifts of our lives and labor.
You may take your seats. A reading from Paul's letters to the Hebrews, chapter 13, beginning at the second verse. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. Here ends the lesson. Let us continue our worship with singing, "Spirit of God, Descend Upon My Heart," hymn number 293 in your Crimson Hymnal. Reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 10, beginning at the 40th verse. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple. Truly, I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. Here ends the lesson.
Let us pray. Gracious God, you are a God of hospitality. There is none like you that invites all to come to you. You have invited us all to your home, to your table, to your arms. Lord, would that all hear and receive this good news. Help us to remember that no one is better than anyone else in your kingdom. Help us to treat one another in the way that you would treat us. Generous God, because you treat us with your tender love, we take time to pray for our friends, family members, and others who need you now more than ever. Pour out your healing on all who need it. Be generous with your transforming love for those who need it most in their lives. Bring forth your reconciliation in all of those broken places. Gifting God, you give the gifts of the Spirit to use to further your kingdom so that we may be your body of Christ in the world. O Holy One, this has been a hard and challenging week. We take this time to remember and to hold up to you our queer and trans siblings, our siblings of color, our siblings in prison and those who are being tortured, our siblings whose lives are shaped by cycles of violence, our siblings who are in pain and who don't know where their source of healing may come from. We yearn for justice and peace. Let this be a season of repentance and reconstruction and reparations. Lord, this is the work of a lifetime. Grant us the humility to know that we are not always going to get it right. May we learn from our mistakes. Break down the barriers within us and around us and created by us that divide us from one another. Unite us in our common allegiance to you as our Lord and Savior. Grant us compassion in all of our interactions. Grant this nation and its leaders a spirit of repentance from self-righteousness and supremacist falsehoods. And instead, give hearts of love, committed to the work of justice and equality for all people. Empower us to continue to be your hands and feet, to continue the work that needs to be done here and in so many places. May all who are weary and oppressed find people and communities around them and places inside of them that nurture, strengthen, and free them. Redeemer, you bless us through the self-giving love of Jesus Christ and through all the ways that Christ's love is embodied. May we never cease to proclaim it by teaching and living that the love of God and neighbor is the heart of the gospel. Source of comfort and solace, as you are our constant companion, you know that we also carry so much else with us. Let us bear witness to the pain and trouble that burdens our own souls. And may we hold fast to what is good in our lives. Help us to turn to one another so that we may see you in the face of our neighbor. Refresh our souls. Renew our spirits. We thank you for the gift of this day, for life, for one more day to love, for opportunity, and one more day to work for justice and peace, for neighbors, and one more person to love and by whom be loved, for your grace, and one more experience of your presence, for your promise to be with us, to be our God, and to give salvation. We pray all of this in the name of your Son and our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
It is such a joy to be with you all today, in part because Reverend Sullivan and I attended Divinity School together all those years ago, and many couches were slept on, and many meals were shared, and many theological debates occurred. And it is such a gift now for our little ones to come together and play, and for us to share in the joy and fellowship of our callings with one another. And so I have heard many beautiful things about you all and the ways that you make her heart as a pastor sing. So I'm grateful to be here. And so friends, let us center ourselves in prayer. Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be glorified in your sight, for you, O God, are our rock. And you, O God, are our Redeemer. Amen. So our scripture that was read for this morning comes from the end of Matthew 10. And in the course of the entire gospel, we have moved from a babe born in a manger, God who came down to earth to live and share in the mess of humanity. And we have heard Jesus' disciples cry out for Jesus to fix and heal and to figure it out for them. But in this passage, Jesus democratizes the gospel. We have seen Jesus teach and preach and heal. We have heard of the radical reversal of power from the wealthy to the worn out, from the politically connected to the political pariahs. As we celebrate independence this week, our gospel tells us time and time again of a different message, one in which we are dependent. We are dependent on God. We are dependent on one another. We are called to love even when, and maybe especially when, it gets hard. The passage read for us this morning is Jesus' second section of teaching after the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus spells out who God's kingdom belongs to. And in his life and in his ministry, Jesus shows us and tells us. From his very birth, Jesus shows us of a different way. From that, the ghettos of Galilee, an infant is born who is the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, from that muck and mire of a stable, comes a radical message of love unbound. And Jesus lives into that. As he breaks bread with sex workers and tax collectors, the addicts and the alcoholics, with those who hear voices in their heads and those whose lives have been ruled by demons. As he speaks out about liberation for the prisoners, he lives into this message of love. Jesus tells us time and time again in the Sermon on the Mount that God's kingdom is for everyone. God's kingdom is for the meek, for that quiet person who doesn't look you in the eye when they talk, who maybe sits alone in their cubicle or at the lunch table, the person who rushes by anxious and unsure. God's kingdom is for them. God's kingdom is for the young man who struggles with the pain of his depression. God's kingdom is for the mother who is trying to hold it all together. And God's kingdom is for the father who breaks down crying on the train. God's kingdom is for those who pretend they have it all together and are exhausted and depleted from the work of that illusion. God's kingdom is for those that need their daily bread. And from this Sermon on the Mount, where we hear about God's kingdom, we see Jesus turn the powers of his world and ours on its head. From this sermon, where we understand who the kingdom of God is for, Jesus then tells us what it means to live in right relationship with our world. He tells us to love our enemies. He tells us not to judge. He tells us to do unto others. And he doesn't only tell us, he shows us in his actions. And then we experience a shift in the Gospel of Matthew as it becomes less about what Jesus is saying and doing, and it becomes about the life and the ministry of the disciples, about the challenges that they will face. Jesus talks about how they are to go forward with very little, relying on the goodness of those they will meet. Jesus talks about how they will be persecuted, how their message will not be welcome everywhere, and how they will not be welcome everywhere. Jesus tells them that they will have to trust on God's Spirit. And here in our passage, we hear of the reward. The reward, which is the assurance that you are doing the work of God. But what exactly is the work of God? Jesus spells it out just a few verses earlier. He says, "As you go, proclaim the good news that the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons." And this is not easy work. It is smelly and messy, it is dangerous, and it demands that we are not independent, but that we are deeply and intimately dependent on one another. And we fool ourselves if we think that this work is over, that it ended thousands of years ago. For it has only just begun. And we friends need more than a feel-good faith. We, each of us, need to look at our world, to really look at it in the ways that it is beautiful and miraculous, and in the ways that it is deeply broken. For if we want to be builders of God's kingdom, we have to take off our rose-tinted glasses. To take that deep, honest look, not just out there at the systems of this world, systems that call like sirens tempting us to live in ways that are not true or good. Systems that make us into machines of productivity, of optimization and commodification. Systems that value some people over others. Systems that tell us tales of fear and scarcity. And we do not only have to be aware of how those systems exist out there, but how they exist in here, in us. We have become dependent on the things that harm rather than the things that heal. That's where my work as the chaplain at Catawba College and the director of the Lilly Center for Vocation and Values feels so important. Work that you all also do here at Harvard. Because there is immense pressure on all those things that claw and cling, claiming the attention for all of us, and especially for young adults entering into higher education. Young adults who are daring to ask for and demand a different way of being in this world, and are trying to figure it out amidst the cacophony. They ask these essential questions of existence, questions the disciples must have been asking themselves, questions I pray that we all continue to ask in our lives. The questions of who am I, and what am I being called to do with what, as Mary Oliver puts it, my one wild and precious life. This work, this living of an examined life, is essential and it is important and it is deeply faithful. The unexamined life, after all, is not worth living. I don't know if any of you have experienced this, but for many, I've heard and I've experienced these full cycle moments in our lives, this almost deja vu-esque nature of existence. Moments seemingly replay from a previous time. And I find myself entering that space more and more often since I have become a mother. You see, as a little girl, my family would travel every Memorial Day to the Great Sand Dunes National Park in southern Colorado, where immense mountains of sand are nestled beneath the base of the Sangre de Cristo Mountains. It is breathtaking and it is beautiful and it is almost otherworldly. We would pack our enormous, heavy green Coleman tent, my dad's giant cast iron skillet, and our swimsuits. There was a river that wove its way down from the snow melt of the mountains and acted as a natural barrier between the campsites and the dunes themselves. I have a distant memory, or maybe it is only family legend, of crossing the river one year after an immense snow. My little three-year-old self holding tightly onto my dad's hand, my mother and brother waiting on the dunes across for us to join them. And as we started to cross that river, my rugged independence took over. And I ripped my hand away from my father, and I declared, "I will go myself." And I rushed forward into the water, water which quickly swept me away, and all there was water and sand as I somersaulted downstream, my dad running after, reaching out, and never quite catching me. My mom and my brother later shared that they thought we were playing some sort of game of chase until the panic set in that we weren't. I tumbled along, my dad frightened as this little stream neared an even greater stream. But then he caught me and he held me and he comforted me. And now, as a mother myself with a fiercely independent 3-year-old who too declares, "I do it myself," I find myself torn, trying to give her space, knowing that this is age appropriate, and also telling her, "Honey, it's okay. We all need a little help sometimes." This self-examination is important as we ask ourselves what is at work within us, both maybe what we inherited from the world and what is foundationally us. And then what is it that grounds us? What is it that provides a rootedness to our being? But it never stops at that point of self-examination, because we are made for relationship. We have built these false narratives of bootstrap pulling our self-sufficiency and rugged independence, but it is just that. It is false. I know he's a beloved New England poet, but I take up a little argument with Mr. Frost, because maybe it was true for a farmer, but good fences don't always make good neighbors. I've instead seen the ways in which fences can act to build up bigotry and hatred, an us and a them, that does not recognize us as well, an us, as common humanity, beautifully diverse. And we are better when we do not think that we have to do it all ourselves, but when we experience the transformation that happens when we live life together. The gospel is not just to be talked about, it is to be lived. And it is not just about the righteous or those prophets. No, again, Jesus takes our expectation and subverts it. He adds at the end of our scripture today the vulnerable, the little ones who need water. Jesus has a tendency to point out these often forgotten little ones who in the ancient world did not really count and did not really yet belong, and claim that they are the holders of the kingdom. That those who care for the little ones in even the most basic way of providing water, God's reward, God's blessing will be upon them. And in many ways, we are called to provide water. And in many ways, we are also the little ones. We all thirst. And we have walked through deserts of our own, deserts of depression and anxiety, deserts of addiction and grief. We have walked through deserts of burnout, and we're exhausted. And yet, we do not have to. We do not have to walk alone. We can hold that hand and cross the stream together. We are called to walk together, just as the disciples were. As we celebrate a nation's independence, our national striving in the face of oppression and tyranny, how do we reclaim the importance of our human dependency? That we cannot live this life alone, that our lives are richer when they are shared. But our lives are not only to be shared with the righteous or with those who think and act and believe like us, not just trusted friends who affirm us so that we can congratulate one another in our shared belief, some echo chamber of self-aggrandizement. We have to also go to the little ones of our world. And when our time comes, also receive the faithful help of those around us. Because we need each other, because our lives are enriched and made whole, we are made more whole when we experience the holy in the other. And each of us is called in our own way to do this work, imperfectly, always. And so as we celebrate this Independence Day, as we look around at the barbecues and the pops and the fireworks over the Charles, let us look at who is there. Let us celebrate the dependency we have, giving thanks for all of those who have come before us, those who have nurtured us and supported us, those who have challenged us and stretched us, because we cannot walk through this life alone. But thanks be, we can walk through this life together. As we celebrate this Independence Day, as we look around, maybe we can also think about who could be there. And may we feel the encouragement not to shut down, but to build up. Let us open our doors and our hearts wide, as God does for each of us, God's beautiful, messy, dependent people. Alleluia. Amen.
Please rise and join in our closing hymn, How Firm a Foundation, hymn number 282.
Let us go forward from this place, dependent on God's love and grace. And may you receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.